Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Women of Golf Show. I'm Ted Oderico, and normally alongside me every week, of course, is my partner in crime, if you will, LPGA professional Cindy Miller, and we, of course, are the hosts of the Women of Golf Show. Unfortunately, Cindy is off this week, so I have the distinct honor and pleasure of interviewing a couple of great young players off of the Symetra Tour, Dottie Ardina, and a little bit later on, I'm going to be interviewing Taylor Totland, who's going to be joining me on the second half of the show. I'll tell you a little bit about both of them here in just a few moments, but let me just remind everybody, of course, we are live every Tuesday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Eastern here on the blogtalkradio.com network. And best way to find us, of course, is go to blogtalkradio.com/womenofgolf is the direct link, or you can just simply type Women of Golf up in the search key, and you'll find us there front and center every Tuesday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Eastern. You can also visit the page a little bit later on if you're not able to join us live during the broadcast. And you can scroll down to the on-demand section and listen to the recorded version when it's, of course, convenient for you. Some other great ways to tune into the program, of course, you can go to iTunes.com, Stitcher.com, or TuneIn.com. And now you can go to TalkLiveStream.com, or TalkStreamLive.com, sorry. And you can also get the show there as well. So another great social media platform. And again, you can listen to it when it's convenient for you. You're also welcome to call in and speak to either Cindy or I. The direct number to call in, of course, is area code 347-945-5855. And you can also reach out to Cindy or I on our respective emails. Cindy is cindy@cindymillergolf.com, and mine is ted.golftalklive@gmail.com. As I mentioned, Cindy's off this week, so I'm going to be holding down the fort, if you will. And my first guest coming on the show is, as I mentioned, Dottie Ardina. She's from Laguna in the Philippines. She's a Symetra Tour player who is currently number one in the Volvic race for the card. And she's had several top 10 finishes this year. And, again, she's well on her way to earning her LPGA Tour membership for 2019. If she can just stay the course. As I said, she has several top 10 finishes on the official qualifying tour for the LPGA so far this season. The first was a solo finish at the Self Regional Healthcare Foundation Women's Health Classic in early May. And the very next week, she followed up with another solo second result at the Symetra Classic. Falling on the first hole of Sudden Death Playoff, her most recent top 10 was a tied for the second showing at the Donald Ross Classic just a few months ago. With less than eight events now on the 2018 Symetra Tour calendar, she's amassed over $69,000 across her starts. That's her official money this year. So she's holding that number one spot pretty well. So let me bring her on and we'll continue the conversation. Dottie, good morning and welcome to the Women of Golf Show.
Hi, good morning, Ted. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you and welcome and thank you for joining me. And as I mentioned to you off air, Cindy sends her regrets that she wasn't able to join us this week on the show. But maybe look forward to having you come back on again another time when she's here. But thank you for joining me this morning.
Thank you for having me.
So I want to ask, it's our pleasure. So let me just ask you, just sort of playing off the number one spot for the Volvic race for the card. You're currently number one, as I mentioned, and actually have been for several weeks now. You've stayed the course quite a way. Now, you haven't actually won this season yet, and there's still plenty of events left to play on the card. But how did you manage to, you know, what have you done that sort of put you in that position, even though you haven't had a win this far?
I usually just, have fun out there and take it shot by shot. And, you know, as long as I don't give pressure to myself, and keep it simple, I play really good.
Yeah, I think the key word is fun. You have to be enjoying what you do, and obviously you do have a lot of enjoyment out in the golf course. Now, I also had asked you a few moments ago, we talked a little bit about distance. You're not an overly tall player. I believe you said you're 5'2", so
yes.
You're a shorter player. And you don't hit it as far as some of the other ladies on tour. I think your average is about 240. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
But you make up for it, obviously, in your short game. So let me ask you something before we get into that part of it a little bit. What do you say mentally to prepare yourself each week? You know, you're playing this weekend in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, at the tournament there. What do you say to yourself mentally to prepare yourself each week and this week as an example before you tee it up?
It's like more like, you know, of course, like I always pray before I start my game, and I just try to focus and have fun. Like I said earlier, like no pressure at all, just, you know, just hit it shot by shot. And then usually I think about my dogs a lot out there. So it keeps me in a happy mode while I walk to my ball. It's nothing really special.
Well, I'll tell you though, that's a great, I love that. Let me just say this to you, Dottie. We've had a number of other professional players on here, and that's a really key element. That's a very important thing for our listeners out there, especially our amateur listeners out there, that you can't always be focused 100%, you know, on your game for four and a half hours, because it'll just burn you out. So obviously your dogs are one thing. What other things do you think about when you're out in the golf course?
Because I've been playing for, you know, a lot of years, and sometimes it's just if I focus more, I don't really like the result that I played, like my score. So I tried different things, like, okay, let's see if I think about my dogs or my parents, or, you know, I don't think about the future. So it's more like relax. I'm trying to relax my brain out there and, you know, have fun.
Well, yeah, I mean, you've got it. That's a great point. And I think it's important. And obviously there is a point in time that you do think about your future, but not on the golf course. On the golf course, you're there to perform a certain task. And as you said, shot by shot, and you take it as it comes, where it lays and that sort of thing. But you can't be trying to solve the world's problems while you're in the heart of a golf tournament. So those are things that, you know, you might want to tackle when you're outside the event. But while you're in the event, as you said, it's very important to stay focused on the task at hand. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, enjoy the experience and not get too caught up in the day-to-day and the moment-to-moment issues that might be going on in your life. So as I mentioned, despite knocking on the door a few times this year, because you've had some, I think you said four finishes.
Sure.
Yeah. And pretty much within a stroke, but you still haven't won. What do you think, if anything, do you need to change, in your game? Is there anything that you need to work on a little harder or change that's going to open that door and get you your first win this year?
I mean, for all my four runner-ups, and I played really well in those four tournaments. I think I just have to wait for my time to win, because I've been so close every time. Like, you know, when I lost that playoff, and the girl who won, Jenny Hovland, made a 45-footer for birdie, you know, something like that.
Wow.
And On the third one, I shot 8-under on the first day, but I shot 2-under on the last day, and Lauren Kaufman shot 6-under. It's, you know, I'm still up there. It's just, I think I have to, you know, push more and maybe a little harder, and maybe my time will come.
Yeah. Well, you know what? There's only so much you can do. I mean, there's only so hard you can work at your game, and a lot of it is certainly an element of luck and timing. You know, you could have the the position to be in able to win a tournament, and maybe a one shot difference, and a gust of wind can come up and blow your ball off its trajectory, and that can be the difference of you winning or losing a tournament. So there's a lot of elements of chance that can happen as well, and things, circumstances that sometimes are beyond your control. So you can only control what you control. So let's talk about your game. Let's talk about your game a little bit. Obviously, again, you're not a really long hitter, but you're obviously very accurate. What's the strongest part of your game, and what's the weakest part of your game?
I'd say my strongest is my putting. And I, you know, if my putting is really good, that's how I score. And obviously short game, but I think my weakest would be sometimes, you know, if it's the course is a bit long for me, it's my approach shot. I wouldn't say it's my weakest, but it depends on the, you know, the golf course, the length of the course.
So it has a needs improvement beside it, but not necessarily a weak part. That's very interesting, and I think that's important. One of the common threads, Dottie, that we hear on the show with interviewing many of the players such as yourself is how important the short game is to actually scoring. Most people are more worried about hitting the perfect shot. I'm talking about our amateurs, of course. They're worried about hitting the perfect shot and looking good out there, but they don't focus as much on the areas that you as a professional know you need to. So if you were going to advise, if you had the ear of, let's say, 20 or 30 amateur golfers right now, and you were sitting or standing in front of them, giving them a playing lesson or something, what would you want to express to them to focus on and to work on the most? And what information would you want to give to them to hopefully help them change their mindset?
I always say, like, if you know, it really depends if you're a long hitter and a short hitter. Of course, if you're a short hitter, you have to practice on your short game. And I mean, also the long hitters. But I always say, just be patient, because, you know, golf is it's a non-ending lesson. So I just say be patient.
Patience. Yeah, I've heard that a few times from you this morning. Is patience. And pardon me. And I think that's very, very important. A lot of amateur golfers, you know, as well as yourself, and I'm sure that you as a tour player, try to, you know, find some interesting ways to practice, especially the short game. Cause let's be honest, it can be a little boring sometimes, just, you know, chipping and pitching and putting without making it a little bit fun. Do you, and maybe some of the others out on tour, do you sometimes sort of practice? I mean, not obviously right before a tournament, but other times, do you practice together while you're traveling? And do you do things to sort of make it interesting while you're out there practicing during a practice round or something?
Actually yesterday we played some chipping contests and potting contests, and I won the putting part. I won $5.
Well, there you go. That adds you up to. That's not an official money earning, so
no.
You can't add that to the 69,000 plus that you have now. But it's still nice to maybe get you a little sandwich or something at the turn. But so you obviously do different things to make it interesting. What can some of our amateurs learn from watching a tour player, besides just how to swing the club and that? What if they were watching you on the practice tee or the range? What would you want them to pay special attention to?
I'd say for, like, the movements of the swing, and I'd say the attitude, because I see a lot of, you know, a lot of amateur golfers, like, if when they hit it bad, they, you know, sometimes they just lose it or slam the club. So I think that would be my best advice.
I'm sure you see a lot of amateur players that, I know obviously you can't really say anything and you try to help them as best as you can, but I'm sure, Dottie, that you see some amateur players out there that you just think to yourself, Lord, I don't know what I can do to help this person. And you try to be as supportive as possible. But What are some of the biggest common mistakes that you see in playing some of the pro-ams? What do you see a lot of the people making a mistake? Is it club selection, or is it just not really having a game plan?
It's more like a lot of them mostly do the rip it and grip it part from the tee box.
Okay.
I mean, they don't care if there's like a water in front or there's a bunker. As long as they hit it far, they're good with it, but they don't really think about the next shot. So sometimes it's really hard for me to play the pro-ams because, you know, if I want them to like lay up, because, you know, it's a best ball and let's say it's a par five and, you know, I know that they can't reach the green, but they still try to do it. So, yeah, you know, it's more like I give them more on a course management part instead of the swing.
Right. Do you ever have the urge? Now, you may not actually say this, but do you ever have the urge when you know that you can't reach the green and you're preparing for a layup and you see them pulling out their fairway wood trying to go for it? Do you ever have the inkling to say to them, I don't think that's a good idea. I'm a tour player and I can't reach it in two. Do you ever get that mindset coming into your head and saying, I think I should tell them or forewarn them that they're not going to make it, or do you say anything at all?
I do say something sometimes. I would say, you know, if you want to, you know, make a birdie or eagle, but let's just lay up here. And I mean, they don't really care sometimes. They just want to hit it far as they can. But, you know, I've played a prom a lot of times, but most of them are really fun. So it was great.
Yeah. Yeah, and you get to meet some interesting people, that's for sure. pardon me. Now, you obviously have being able to battle it out each week that you're playing with your fellow professionals, you know, obviously gives you a certain element of confidence when you're out there, and you need to have that confidence to play at that level. And I know that you're confident in your short game, but what happens? Is there moments when maybe that confidence gets shaken a little bit, and then what do you do in that moment to sort of strengthen it back again?
I try to like practice like more practice like double time on whatever I'm scared of, you know, part of my game. Let's say I'm scared to hit my driver. I just go to range and practice it more until I get that confidence.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And,
no, that's
you know, and also my caddy helps me a lot out there.
What does your caddy do?
He helps me more on my mental.
Okay.
Like, you know, like don't sometimes, you know, because I have fun out there, but sometimes I overthink too. So he helps me a lot to like to talk about something else and you know, just have fun out there and especially if I'm struggling with a shot or something, then he'll give me options instead of just hit the ball and don't know where it's going.
Right. So he obviously knows your game well enough to give you advice with confidence. Does he ever say to you if he sees you doing something that he knows is not in your strength wheelhouse? Does he ever say, Dottie, and maybe in a case where you're pulling out a club that you shouldn't be, does he ever say to you, Dottie, that's probably not the smart play here?
Yes, he has a lot of times. And then we try to talk about it. And, you know, conversation is really important when I pull a shot. I mean, before I hit the shot. So that's how he really helps me out there.
Who normally wins that conversation?
I'd say him, but when it comes to putting, reading greens, it's me.
Okay. Well, that's why it's your strong suit. Very interesting. Let me ask you a question here about growing up. Who were your inspirations growing up, both on and off the golf course? So who were your inspirations or who really helped mentor you off the golf course? And then when you're on the golf course, is there players or somebody in the golf industry that you really admire that has helped you along the way?
Well, my dad is, he managed a golf range back in the Philippines, and he's a golf teacher, and that's how I started when I was five. So he was the one who kind of influenced me to the game.
Okay. Very good. And what about on the golf course? Is there any players, whether it be an LPGA player or even a fellow Symetra Tour player or even on the PGA, is there somebody that you really admire? And they don't necessarily have to directly help you, but maybe there's somebody that that you've drawn some inspiration from watching or listening to.
Well, from when I started, and I always hear about, you know, Tiger Woods and Fred Couples, Ernie Els. So they were, you know, I look up to them a lot. And on the women's tour, of course, it's Annika Sorenstam,
right,
and Lorena Ochoa. But I do got my name actually from Dottie Pepper.
Oh, wow. Now, yep. I don't know Dottie personally. I mean, I haven't had the pleasure of meeting her, but I've watched her career, and it's interesting that you say that, because Dottie, if you watched her when she was playing on the LPGA Tour years back, of course, now she's an announcer, but she was a very feisty player. Do you consider yourself kind of feisty? She was a very fierce competitor, let me tell you, from watching her. You know, she'd grit her teeth and furrow her brow many times out in that golf course and just about will that ball into the hole. So, would you consider yourself similar to that? Are you kind of a real, fiery, player when you're out in the golf course, or are you a little bit more subdued?
I guess I'm not that spicy. I'm just easy.
You're a little more laid back.
A lot of people say I look like I'm just walking in the park.
So you're more of a Freddie Couples type, or even an Ernie Els, where you just sort of a casual stroll down the fairway. Well, listen, that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing, Dottie. Let me go back to the previous question here about your inspirations. What specifically, and I guess obviously more importantly your father, because that sounds to me like he was obviously a big inspiration. What did he teach you that really is helping you now?
I'd say my short game and my putting. Because he told me that's how I started from, you know, chipping and putting before I really try to hit balls on the range and do some long shots.
Very interesting. Now, did you kind of have a natural swing when you first, I mean, obviously at five, it's not going to be too natural, but did the golf swing itself come pretty easily to you? Unlike some people that really have to work at it, did it sort of have a natural movement for you, or did you really have to work on it?
Actually, when I was about 7 or 8, and my dad always buy this, golf books, the swing books, and he also bought this Jim McLean 8-step swing, and
yep,
it's about
a
2-hour video. It's about a
two-hour
video, and you know, he always want me to watch that every single day, and that's pretty much helped my swing, like the pattern, and it's like
right.
It's like my grow-up swing. Actually, until now, I still have it, but it's in the Betamax.
Right. Yeah, it's been changed a little bit. So what does the future look like? Obviously, I know you want to get out on the LPGA Tour full-time and be able to compete at that level. That's sort of the next link in the chain, if you will. But what do you see the future for Dottie Ardina? What's it going to look like for you? What ideally would it look like for you?
I guess I have to do, like, practice double time for next year for the LPGA. I mean, I've played on the tour before. I actually have a conditional status this year, but I just decided to stay in Symetra and get a full card for next year. And it's really different out there compared to Symetra.
Sure.
I'd say it's more intimidating, and you know, a lot of people are watching, but I just have to be myself and think that I'm also good enough like them. I'm just trying to be confident.
Right. Now, are you, obviously you're a young girl and this generation now is very into social media. Do you pay a lot of attention to social media? Do you have a following that you like to keep updated with what's happening on your tour life? And do you interact with some of the people that you have on your social media to say, hey, this is what I'm doing, or maybe they have questions? Do you have a pretty active social media, or is that something that's not really all that important to you?
I mean, I do have Instagram and Facebook, but I don't really post a lot. It's just I'm not a very social media person. But I try to keep up with, you know, PGA tours or any other tours and with some, you know, highlights, videos. But,
right.
Yeah, I don't, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, you're not somebody that's constantly looking at your phone and or your computer or what have you. Yeah, that's a good thing. That's a good quality to have and something we don't see a lot of. Very quickly, we only got a minute or two left, and then I'm going to let you go so you can get ready for your practice round. Outside of golf, what other things do you like to do when you're away from the golf course?
Shopping. I'm just kidding. First thing I do if I'm off the course, I do a lot of arcades, like in David and Buster's.
So that's where we'll find you then when you're not on the golf course at Dave and Buster's. So, well, that's okay. You know what? You've got a very bubbly personality, and you can hear that through the whole interview. I mean, you laugh a lot, and that's a great quality to have. And if you enjoy playing both on and off the golf course, that's a wonderful quality to have, Dottie, and you just need to keep that going no matter what. I always say golf and life are close relatives. They're very similar. There's many challenges in life that we have to deal with, and there's many challenges on the golf course. And if you can learn to handle both, with integrity, but at the same time have a little fun along the ways, you're going to be a much happier person, down the road. So, well, Dottie, I want to say to you, first off, thank you very much again for joining me this morning on the Women of Golf, and good luck this weekend.
Thank you so much.
And win a tournament before the season ends, and we'll have you back on the show, and we'll make sure Cindy's available as well.
That is my goal. Thank you, Ted, for having me this morning.
All right. Good luck this week, and hopefully we'll see you again soon.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. All right. That was a very special guest. To start things off, Dottie Ardina, Symetra Tour player, currently the number one in the Volvic race for the cards. And she's trying to get her full card, if you will, for next season on the LPGA Tour, which, of course, is the big stage for many of these girls. And what a great, what a great personality, and you can certainly hear it through her voice. And we want to wish her all of the best of luck for the remaining part of the season, and particularly this weekend as she tees it up in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. And we're just going to wait here for just a second, and Taylor Totland should be joining me here momentarily. But in the meantime, let me just remind everybody, of course, that we are live every Tuesday mornings from 9 to 10 a.m. Eastern here in the blogtalkradio.com network. And again, best way to find us is go to blogtalkradio.com and just type in Women of Golf, or add a /Women of Golf, and that will take you to the main page, and you'll find us front and center there during the live broadcast. Or simply scroll down to the on-demand section if you're not able to join us Tuesday mornings, and you can listen to the show in its entirety when it's convenient for you in the on-demand section. All of the, including today's shows, all of the previously aired shows are there, and you can listen to them when it's convenient for you. You can also go to iTunes.com, Stitcher.com, and TuneIn.com, and also now TalkStreamLive.com is another new social media platform that you can find the Women of Golf show, and you can listen to all of the, again, previously aired shows in their entirety there. And don't forget to reach out to either Cindy or I if you've got some comments or questions about the show. You can do so by emailing us at Cindy@CindyMillerGolf.com, or you can reach me at Ted.GolfTalkLive@gmail.com. All right, as I mentioned, I've got another great guest joining me here, Taylor Totlin. Let me just tell you a little bit about her. Taylor finished tied for fifth at stage one of the LPGA qualifying tournament in Rancho Mirage, California, to earn her spot among 101 players that are going to be advancing to stage two. She was the second highest qualifier among the Symmetra Tour professionals in the event at 500 par overall. So far in 2018, Totlin has been has a season best result tied for 41st at the Florida's Natural Charity Classic. The former three-time All-Southern Conference performer for Furman University has also made one start on the LPGA Tour thanks to a sponsor exemption for the ShopRite LPGA Classic, which was presented by Acer in Galloway, New Jersey, at the Stockton Seaview Hotel and Golf Club. Of course, it was the Bay Course. She is in the field this week for the 16th stop on the Symmetra Tour schedule in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, for the Sioux Falls Great Life Challenge, which is going to be playing from August 30th through September 2nd. So a great tournament to have over the Labor Day weekend. So let me just welcome her to the show, and we'll start our discussion with Symmetra Tour player Taylor Totlin. Good morning, Taylor, and welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Not a problem. I know that you're probably going to be getting ready to get out there and have a practice round here shortly, so I know you haven't got a lot of time, but we'll try to work through this as best. And let me also extend an apology on behalf of Cindy Miller, who normally joins me on the show, LPGA professional and Legends Tour player, Cindy Miller. Unfortunately, she had another engagement this week and wasn't able to join me, so you're stuck with me, unfortunately, Taylor, for the next few moments.
That's all right. It'll be great.
All right, so let me just start off. Let's go back a little bit in time. You were obviously three-time Southern Conference performer for Furman University. First and foremost, how has that helped prepare you for where you are now? What did you learn while you were at Furman? Obviously, not just educational-wise, but while you played golf through that process. What did you learn from that experience?
So Furman's such an amazing school, both academically, and we have a great golf reputation. And I was blessed to have incredible coaches that really helped prepare my swing mentally, just kind of get all the right tools because I knew I wanted to be a professional. So they had all the right things to teach me throughout my 4 years to get ready for this stage.
So if you were to summarize your game, if somebody was to ask you, what's the best and what's the weakest part, and I don't like to use weakest, but that's the only way really describe it. What's the strongest part of your game and what is the weakest or needs the most improvement?
I'd say driving is the strongest and putting is definitely the weakest. That's the one part of my game I've been struggling with all year. But I had a really good golf lesson with Michael Reed a couple weeks ago, and stage one, my putting was awesome. So hopefully it's trending up.
Very good. You may have to send an extra check to Michael if you win this weekend then, just for that.
I think I will.
So let me ask you then very quickly, what's your driving stat? What's the distance on average?
Around 240,
245. Oh, wow. Okay. So you're kind of in the wheelhouse, the range of Dottie Ardina, who was just on a few moments ago before you came on. So not really a long, long hitter. Maybe about average on tour. So are you much like her in the sense that you, because you're not as long a hitter as some of the other ladies out there on tour, that you really have to hone in on your short game to to help get your scoring in?
Oh, you really do, because there are some girls that can go for par fives and two, but unfortunately I don't hit it that far where I'm able to do that a lot of the time, so my wedge work is really important to make some birdies.
Right. Right. Yeah, accuracy is I'm a firm believer, and as I was mentioning to Dottie, there were a number of players, particularly on the men's tour over the years, Mike Reed and, of course, Tom Kite, and even Ben Crenshaw, who were not overly tall players, certainly didn't hit it a mile compared to what we see, you know, somebody like a Bubba Watson or a John Daly or even Tiger in today's golf game. But they had very stellar short games. So how much time, if you were talking with an amateur right now, how much time during your practice round do you allocate to different areas of your game? Kind of break it down for us a little bit.
So I normally spend, depends on what I'm working on, but average, let's say I'll do 40 minutes on the range, if that. But majority of the time is spent putting, chipping, wedges, and then I'll go out and play, and then I'll come back and I'll do some more short game. So majority of my time is dedicated to playing and working short game. Because you're not always
now,
sure
what
how
are you?
Swing.
Right. Right. Go ahead. Finish your thought.
Oh, I was going to say, you're not always going to have your swing. So if your swing's not working, you always have your short game to rely on.
So I'm going to ask you a similar question that I asked Dottie a few moments ago. Who inspired you growing up? Who was sort of a mentor both on and off the golf course?
So my dad got me started when I was five. And he's always been my rock for golf. So he was the guy that first got me into it. But growing up, I thought Tiger Woods was the coolest person in the world. So I literally, I had Tiger Woods bobbleheads. I thought he was so cool. So definitely he was my golf mentor, I guess I would say, growing up.
Wow. What about on the ladies tour? Was there anybody that particularly caught your eye that you thought, hey, I really want to emulate her, you know, on and off the golf course, that really impressed you?
I mean, Stacey Lewis has such a great reputation. And my college coach coached her, so I actually met her once.
Mm-hmm.
And just a really nice, down-to-earth person. So she's definitely on the ladies' tour. It'd be Stacey.
Now, you, as I mentioned, you haven't won this year on the Symetra Tour, but you're going through, obviously, the Q School, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
With no wins this year, what are you going to need to do? What are you saying to yourself now mentally? Say, okay, this is what I need to do that's going to give me the best chance this weekend in Sioux Falls.
I'm definitely, Q School is a much needed confidence booster, because this season has been a struggle with the putting, because I missed a couple shots by literally a shot. So I know that my game is trending upwards, so I'm just going to continue to do what I did last week and have a positive attitude about it, and hopefully it all comes together again.
So you're knocking on the door as well of that
mm-hmm.
win. You're close, but it's just, you know, a stroke or two maybe shy of you holding up that trophy. So you're certainly within striking distance. Let's talk mentally for a second, because that's an area of the game that definitely a lot of amateurs spend very little time on. When you're out in the golf course, what are you thinking about? Obviously, in the moment of the golf shot, you're preparing and thinking about what you have to do. But what are some of the other thoughts that you're having while out there? Do you take your mindset out of the game for a while you're walking between shots, or what do you do?
So I have a nice caddy. His name's Bully. So we kind of chat when we're walking in a golf ball. But the last thought I have when I hit a shot is I see the target, and I just want my ball to go at the target. But it's really important to kind of distract yourself, because you can't be focused all in for 5 hours or so. So those walks in between, you know, waiting to putt is really important. I have songs stuck in my head majority of the time, so they're just on, like, constant replay. Just kind of keep me distracted.
Well, that's a good idea. Now, are you a big social media buff too? Do you like to really stay in the loop with what's going on social media, or is that something that's kind of not really all that important? It's kind of nice, but, you know, I'm not as caught up in it as some people are. What's your thoughts there?
I mean, I love Instagram, Twitter. I don't really tweet a whole lot, but I'll retweet and I get all my news and information from Twitter. So those are my two social media outlets.
That's interesting. You know, I noticed that with a lot of the young ladies that we've interviewed here on the show, that Instagram seems to be in the forefront. Why do you think that is? What is it about Instagram that everybody seems to love?
Yeah, I think it's just people love pictures, especially people our age. And so the fact
right.
that you can just, there's so many pictures, and it's just cool to kind of see what people are up to around the world. And Instagram's a really good way to show that.
Now, obviously, all of the players out there, you have, I'm sure, family and stuff that follow you on Instagram, you know, when you're traveling.
Mm-hmm.
That's a way that they can stay connected. But obviously you have some fans as well that like to know what's happening in Taylor's world. Do you interact a little bit with some of them or do you sort of stay focused on the task at hand? And, you know, you'll report some things on Instagram, but you don't really interact as much. What do you do there?
I mean, I've never reported anything on Instagram before. I'll interact sometimes if, like, I get a direct message from someone saying good play, and I'll say thank you, or I'll like their comments that they post on my pictures.
Right.
So that's what I do.
Right. Well, I think that's good too. I think, you know, I think you have to have a healthy balance
mm-hmm.
in everything that you do. And obviously, you know, you're there as a professional golfer. That's the career, if you will, that you've chosen to do at this time. Now, let's fast forward a few years and let's say Godspeed, you're out on the LPGA Tour, and what are some of your goals going to be there? What's your long-term goal on the LPGA Tour? And once that comes to a close, which it does for everybody at some point, is there something that you want to do outside of golf?
I don't know what my goal would be on the LPGA. Figure just take it, you know, one tournament at a time and see how I'm doing. If I'm doing well, I'll keep doing it. But I'm not really sure. Being a college coach in the back of my mind has always been like a really cool backup just because my experience was so great in college, and having a chance to give that to other kids in college would be great. But I don't really know. I definitely want to stay in New Jersey if it allows me to.
That's a great area. Yeah, I love New Jersey.
Oh, I love it too.
So Taylor, let me ask you then, do you think maybe some of your vision might be similar to Tiger's, and obviously majors are always important to a golf professional. When you get out in the LPGA Tour, are you going to be somebody that's going to really focus on the majors and maybe go after some records? Is that something that's in your wheelhouse as well to visualize, or you just want to go out there, as you said, play tournament, and whatever happens, happens?
I mean, kind of both. Whatever happens, happens, but it would be incredible to win a major. So if I can wrap my hand around one of those trophies, that would be a dream come true, and just, I will put in all the effort to do so.
So you're not going to go after, I guess what I'm saying is you're not going to go after necessarily Annika. You're not like Tiger where he had a direct vision. Okay, I want to go after Jack Nicklaus's, you know, major record and try to bust through that. That's not something that, obviously if it was to happen, that would be great, but that's not a vision that you're taking with you to say, I'm going after Annika or one of the other top players that's, you know, amassed a lot of tournaments. That's not something that you're really thinking about as a general rule.
Yeah, no, that really hasn't crossed my mind much, to be honest. I guess maybe once I get out there, we'll see what happens. But as for now, that really hasn't crossed it yet.
What's the hardest part about traveling in tour life that maybe, you know, because we always hear people talking about, well, that looks so glamorous and that. We know the truth that, you know, for those that have been out on tour, and it doesn't matter what tour, it's a grind, obviously, out there on the golf course. But there's a lot of suitcase packing and unpacking. Lay it out for us, for those that are tuning in that think it's a glamorous life 24/7. Lay some of the truth about life on tour, how difficult it can be.
Well, it is far from glamorous, I can tell you that. it's hard. So I drove from New Jersey to South Dakota. It took me 23 hours. I broke it up.
Wow.
because then right from there I went to Palm Springs for Q School. And then I got in late last night, and we'll be gone for 6 weeks. So, and it's also really expensive. So renting a car for 6 weeks, picking it up at an airport and dropping it off at a different one would just be really expensive. So a lot of girls out here just drive everywhere. For one, they can bring as much as they want because you know you're going to be going weeks at a time. And two, it's cheaper. But it's exhausting just driving and packing up and living out of your suitcase for a while.
Now, obviously, there's a fun side to it as well. You get some camaraderie with your fellow tour players. Obviously, you have some besties, if you will, there out on tour. I mean, even though you're competing week in, week out, you have some, I'm sure you've made some friends along the way. Who are some of the ones that you're close with out there? And what do you guys like to do when you're not out in the golf course? Is there anything that you guys like to do for fun?
We like to eat. So we're always getting food. We're getting dinner or ice cream or something. But it's really important to have a good group of friends out here because it can get lonely if you don't, because you're gone from your friends and family back at home for so long. But luckily, everyone out on Symetra is really nice. So we have a good time.
Yeah, and obviously, do you have at all throughout the season, obviously as things get closer to home, it's probably a little easier for them, but do you have any family or friends from time to time that are able to travel to wherever you're playing to come and watch and maybe spend some time? Do you have that, or is it pretty much on your own?
My family will come to some of them. They came to the event in South Carolina, and the ones closer to home they came to, but when we're out in the West, just kind of, I don't really have family that come out to that.
Right. So your tour buddies are kind of your family during those events.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah. So you're in the field this week. As I mentioned, you're going to be playing at the Sioux Falls Great Life Challenge this weekend, of course. What's the mindset coming into this event for you? What are you going to be focusing on the most? And what specifically do you think you're going to need to do to get the job done? You know who you're going to be competing against. You've played against many of them throughout the season. Are you going to do anything different than what you have been doing, or are you just going to stay the course?
I'm going to stay the course. I haven't seen it yet, but from what I hear, it's a really good course. But as long as I just make putts, get those to drop, I think I'll be just fine. And that's the plan, is to hit it close and make the putts drop.
Now, I want to ask you, obviously, as Dottie is and you are, you know, you're still pretty young yet. As a young female, you're really the fastest growing demographic in golf right now. First and foremost, why do you think that is? What's suddenly become the appeal for young girls like yourself? I mean, obviously, you started very early, so you're a little bit different, but for young girls in that teenage group, if you will, is the largest demographic right now in golf coming into the game. Why do you think that is, and what do you think, as a general rule, the golf industry could do to encourage and get more girls of various ages, not just in that sort of demographic, but all ages, to draw them to the sport? What would you say to them if you were on a committee? What advice would you give them? But answer the other first, if you wouldn't mind, is why do you think that there is such a surgence of young females coming into the sport? What's the draw?
You know, I was just talking to my dad about that, because I've noticed that there's, and it's great to see so many females picking up the game of golf and enjoying it. I'm not sure why that's happening. It's great. I think golf is becoming a lot more popular, because when I was growing up, I started when I was 5, and really no one my age golfed. I didn't really know anyone in high school. So I don't really have an answer for that, because I'm not sure what the draw is. I mean, they see that there's a lot of opportunities that can come from golf, maybe. Like, it got me into a great college. It gets a lot of people, helps academic situations, so it kind of sets people up. So I don't know if that's a draw or they're just loving it. I don't know.
Now, if you were on that committee and you were going to go after that market a little more aggressively, are the things that you would like to see happen Obviously, there's some good things going on right now in the golf industry that is reaching out to junior golf and things like that. But is there anything different that you would like to see that maybe isn't going on, or do you have some suggestions on how, as an industry, we could, again, attract more women to the game?
I think just keep making it fun for them, starting off. So the first tee, like, get involved in some junior camps, some clinics, and really get the kids liking it. I know college camps are big for kids to go to. Which I know people are already doing that. But that's the only thing I can think of that really keeps the girls going and gets them excited, because they need to have fun with it in order to keep playing.
Right. I think that's a great point. And also, too, you mentioned earlier, you know, you would maybe like to do something like going back to a university like Furman and giving back to the game, maybe teaching and mentoring some of the next, up-and-comers, if you will. So would that be an area, too, that maybe in the teaching area of the game, get more women involved in that so that and that's not to say that the guys aren't doing a great job, but I think, obviously, women tend to be more comfortable in a setting where they're, you know, being instructed to by another female. It's a little more comfort level. It's not as intimidating. Is that an area too that you think you'd like to see and maybe could help as you develop through your career, maybe another way that you could give back and getting into more of the teaching side when you're finished playing or even both?
Yeah, I can see myself doing that too. I agree that some ladies are very comfortable with another lady teaching them. That's something I can see myself doing down the road.
Very good. Well, right now, of course, your focus is on winning, and we know that you're going to do very well with your future. I've looked at some of your stats, and it's just a matter. You're knocking too close on that door, and it's just a matter of turning that handle and walking through. So I know it's going to happen, and hopefully maybe it'll happen this weekend. But you've got some events left. And when do you go to stage two, after this event?
So stage two is mid-October in Florida.
Mid-October.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you got a few more events to warm up for that before you head to stage two?
That's the plan.
So what do you do? What do you do outside of golf to have some fun when you're not on the golf course and you're with your friends, back home? Let's say, what do you do? What do you like to do for fun?
So I live at the beach in Jersey, so I'm always at the beach. And then I'm probably going to go to Greenville, back to Furman, and see my friends from there. So I hang out with my friends all the time, friends and family, but I'm a huge beach girl. So any opportunity to get to go to the beach, I'm taking it.
Well, don't forget the sunscreen. You want to protect yourself.
Because
especially when you're out in the golf course, for your day job, if you will, you're exposed to the sun. So always protect yourself. Very interesting, Taylor. I want to thank you for joining me this morning on the Women of Golf Show. Very enlightening and very interesting to hear. Your perspective and your viewpoints on the game, and it's nice to know that Tiger Woods has impacted so many people, both male and female, to this game. So I'm sure if he at some point hears this broadcast, that he'll have a smile on his face and say, thank you for the great compliments. Taylor, go out and enjoy your practice round. Good luck this weekend in the tournament. And win a tournament, and we'll have you back on the show. I'll make sure Cindy's available this time as well, and we'll talk about your win.
Awesome. Thank you, Ted, for having me. It was a lot of fun.
All right. Go and enjoy the day, and good luck this weekend.
Thank you. Bye.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. All right. That was Taylor Totland, a Symetra Tour player, and playing in this weekend's tournament in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and we want to wish her and Dottie, of course, all the best this weekend. Of course, I'm talking about the Sioux Falls Great Life Challenge that's playing August 30th through September 2nd. They're playing in that tournament, and as I also mentioned, Dottie, of course, is number one in the Volvic race for the card. She's got a pretty good healthy lead. And Taylor, of course, is on her way in about a month's time, maybe a month and a half time, to stage two of the Q School, which is going to be back in Florida. to earn her full-time card for next season as well on the LPGA. So good luck to both ladies, and thank you again for joining us. And I will be back next week with my partner, Cindy Miller. Of course, we'll have another great show here on the Women of Golf with hopefully the winner of this weekend's event in Sioux Falls. It might be one of these ladies. It might be another young lady. I don't know. And then we'll have another great interview guest to follow. So make sure you tune in all of the great social media platforms that I mentioned earlier. Again, go to blogtalkradio.com/womenofgolf and be sure to join Cindy and I every Tuesday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Eastern here on the blogtalkradio.com network or some of the other social media platforms. But in that on that note, on behalf of Cindy Miller and I would like to thank you for joining me this morning on the Women of Golf Show. God bless everybody, and we'll see you next week.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18+.